This podcast is brought to you by the Empowerment Project. It's for kids and all the trusted adults who love them and want them to stay safe, empowered, and thriving. My name is Sylvia Smart, and I've been teaching martial arts and self-defense to kids since, since your parents were very little kids, maybe even before they were born. Yep, I'm pretty old, but only on the outside. I totally remember what it's like to be a kid. Kids, we're going to talk with other kids and hear how they powered up and stayed safe when things happened to them that felt weird or icky, things they'd never had to deal with before, things that maybe even felt creepy or scary. They're going to tell us what happened and what they did to protect themselves. Having a podcast just for you is a great way to learn this stuff, and I am so glad you're here. And trusted adults, we're going to empower you to have conversations about this stuff with your children as they grow and learn and practice these very essential life skills. Sometimes we'll talk with other parents too. All of this is going to be age appropriate, with my end game being protecting kids and keeping them safe. I want to empower your kiddos to use their voices, to set their own boundaries, and to talk to you and tell you anytime something happens that makes them feel uncomfortable. Research proves that self-defense training makes you safer, period. Ultimately, I'm going to want you to get some in-person physical training, but a great kid self-defense class is so much more than just the physical skills. I'm really glad you're here. I have been doing this stuff for a really long time, and I want to teach you everything I know. It's time to power up. Welcome, listeners. First, before we get started, I just wanted to give you a quick word about this episode. It's not going to be for everyone. I want the adults to listen to this first and then decide how or if you want to share this with the kids. How or if you decide to share this is going to depend on many factors, and you know them all way better than I do. And kids, if you're listening and there's no adult with you, I want you to stop. Just stop listening and wait till you can have your trusted adult listen first, okay? I'm not trying to keep anything from you. It's just that this is a really tough story to hear, and I want to make sure your adults are, one, first of all, okay with it, and two, that they're listening with you so you can talk about it, okay? Okay, here we go. Hello, listeners. Hello to the kids and to the adults who love you. I'm so glad you're here. We are very lucky today to have a wonderful guest with us, Samra. Samra is a very dear friend of mine, and she told me a story about something she went through when she was a child a little while ago, and it made a really big impression on me. I asked her if she'd be willing to come onto this podcast and talk about it, and she's here. Here on the Power Up Kids Self-Defense podcast, we often talk about success stories. Do you remember what those are? They're stories about kids who've gone through things that are hard or difficult or even sometimes icky. And just a reminder that kids are strong and brave and resilient. You really are. And a success story is when we get to find out how this person who's telling us the story made it through that experience. Children handle things that are hard and sometimes scary in all sorts of different ways. And when we get to hear their stories, we also get to learn from them. We get to learn things that they did that worked, and sometimes things that the adults in their lives did that helped. We get to learn from a success story because it includes things that maybe could have gone better, or maybe the person telling us the story wishes they'd done something differently. So all of those are opportunities for us to learn. And no matter what, when people come onto this podcast to share their stories, they are giving us an incredible gift, which is the opportunity to learn from something that was very hard for them. And for that, I am forever grateful. And I am grateful to my dear friend Samra. And I would like to introduce all of you to her. So Samra, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you're here.
Thank you for having me.
You betcha. Could you start us off by telling our listeners some things about you that you'd be willing to share, some things about who you are, and just anything that might surprise us or things you would like us to know about you?
Sure. So I'm a mother of two girls. I always hope to have two girls, and believe it or not, my dreams came true.
Nice.
And so I live in the Pacific Northwest, and I love going hiking with my girls. The forest park area, the woods around this area is just so beautiful and so wonderful. I love this podcast, and I've been listening with both my girls, and we totally appreciate your work, and it is a very, very useful set of skills and tools that all kids could use and learn from. Thank you for putting all your time and energy towards this kind of work.
Oh, well, thank you. I didn't expect you to say that, but thank you. And, you know, the thing about the story that we'll get to in just a second is that I think, you know, we all have a self-defense toolkit, and the kids who are listening and their adults who love them know that we always talk about that we all have tools and that they come in all shapes and sizes and we call on them at different times. So I appreciate you saying that. And if you're ready, I think we're ready, and we'd love to hear about the story that you told me a while ago that I was really hoping that you could share.
Sure. So I was born in 1980, and that made me right about 10 years old in 1990, right? So I was a fifth grader, all proud of myself for growing up and, you know, starting to see some changes in my body, and things were going really well. I had a few friends at school and a few friends in the neighborhood, and life was just fantastic. I lived in a busy city. We often had to take buses that were really crowded or trains. And so the story takes place when I was, you know, 10 years old, as I said, and my uncle was planning to get married. And so the wedding date was fixed for the first day of the fall, which was about 21st of September that year. And so we were all looking forward to this wedding day, and we were shopping for beautiful clothes. And so I went on a special shopping trip to buy something just fancy enough for myself, since I was all a big girl at this age, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I found this beautiful knee-length dress that had lots of, it was kind of velvetish purple color with embroidery, and it had two little cute pockets. And then I found a pair of socks that were kind of matching, you know, and I was just so excited. And then my mom was putting on nail polish on her own fingernails for the wedding, and I asked her if she would put some on me too. Bright red nail polish. And when I looked at myself in the mirror, I was so pleased with myself. I asked if I could have some lipstick on. She said, "Nope, you're too young. Chapstick will do." And so then I put on a chapstick, the kind that had just a little shimmer, right?
Yeah.
We went to the wedding, everything was wonderful, and, you know, I ran into a friend of mine that we would run into each other for family gatherings. Her name was Nuria, and we were just so happy to see each other. Because I did not have any other siblings, Nuria was my companion during family get-togethers. And so we were just happy to be there listening to the music and eating great food. Then it was time for the actual wedding, the formal part, to finish, and then the after party was to be in my backyard. And so I asked my mom if I could invite my friend Nuria and her mom to come for the after party so that I have another kid to hang out with. And so my mom talked to Nuria's mom and said, sure, we could come, but we have to go get some warm clothes. And so after my mom and Nuria's mom talked for a while, they made a decision that I was to ride with them by a bus to their home, get some warm clothes because it was kind of a chilly fall day. And then they would come along with me and we would go together for the after party. And so I was happy with that arrangement. We stood at the bus stop, the bus arrived, and the way it worked out, usually kids would stand in the aisles and the adults would sit. And so her mom and another lady was sitting in the very first seat of the bus, and Nuria and I were standing. You know, if you can imagine the school bus, for example, there's a couple of steps, and immediately to the right, there's a kind of a railing. So my friend Nuria and I were standing right by that railing and hanging on as her mother and some other lady were sitting down. And so, as it was supposed to be a 20-minute bus ride or so, we went to her house, picked up some warm clothes, and then came back, took another bus, and this time around, the bus was even more crowded. Somehow, we managed, my friend Nuria and I, we managed to scoot in right in that area behind the railing, and her mother got a chance to sit again on the very same seat. And so the bus would stop, some passengers would get down, and some passengers would get into the bus, and then the bus would move on. I just really enjoyed looking out the window, and so far, so good. Everything was going as per the plan. The bus came to a stop, and a group of young men, maybe between the ages of 20 and 25 or so, got on the bus, and there was just too many of them. I didn't think anything about it, and as the bus started moving forward, I felt a very uncomfortable touch on my leg. And this was very disturbing to me because I had heard of cases of when people inappropriately touched other girls. But I thought, I'm just a kid, I'm only 10 years old. This is probably an accident. Nobody wants to touch me in that way. And so I looked, and the hand belonged to this man who to me at that point looked like the meanest faced man I had ever seen. And so I tried to shuffle my legs in such a way to kind of push his hand away, my legs, but it didn't work because it was so crowded and there was no place to turn. And so I don't know what else to do. I started just looking outside. And unfortunately, at that moment, his hand went even up higher. I had a very, a gut reaction that he's doing something wrong, but I didn't know how to stop. I reshuffled my legs, and since there was not much space to move towards, I just continued looking outside. And then his hands just kept on touching my most private parts, and that made me so very uncomfortable. I wish that my mother was there. That's the only thing I could remember. Mm. I did not have the courage to talk to my friend's mother, and I couldn't really get away. But as soon as the bus stopped, he got out of the bus and moved on walking. I didn't even look his direction. I just became really very sad. Mm. And so it's like as if he stole some kind of joy from me that day. I went back, we arrived to my uncle's wedding's after party, and I did not feel like I was in a mood to celebrate or anything. I just felt kind of violated or dirty.
Yeah.
And so first thing, I went to the bathroom and I tried to use the bathroom and clean myself, you know, to hope to feel clean afterwards. But that didn't help. Then I said, well, maybe it was because I had dressed up in such an attractive way, beautiful dress, red nail polish, and shimmery lip gloss. Maybe if I took those off, I'd feel better. So I took off my dress and I put on just some baggy pants and t-shirts. Still didn't feel better. And then I said, well, maybe it's the nail polish. I went and found some nail polish remover and removed the nail polish. And that didn't help either. I just really felt alone, and maybe I had done something wrong to attract this kind of attention. And so I became a real quiet child after that. Slowly but surely, that episode kind of kept me like, I have to dress in the most simple of ways so that I don't attract this kind of attention. And so as the time went by, I was just really cautious around other people. Whenever I was in a crowded situation, I would always remember to wear pants or, you know, make sure I have enough distance from other people. And so that uncomfortable feeling was with me for many, many years. And so then when I grew up and became an adult, one day I came across a book that I read, and that was about shame and secrets and things like that. And so as I was reading through the pages of this book, that experience immediately stood out in my mind that, oh my God, that is how I felt. I felt shame and I felt like it was my fault. And the author of the book so beautifully explained that it was not my fault. That just because some creepy person did something terrible, that was not my fault. And so as I was reading this page, these pages of this wonderful book, I realized that it's not my fault. And it wasn't my responsibility to change my ways of getting dressed up or kind of hide my natural beauty because of somebody else's action. And so I decided that I was going to not feel shame or guilt anymore. And I kind of had to work on forgiving myself a little bit for taking such a long time to explore this particular topic of shame and guilt when it wasn't my fault. And so I forgive myself, and I'm happy to report that I feel like that joy that I lost that day kind of got replaced. It came back to my heart.
That is a happy report. That your joy is back. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I want everyone to just take a deep breath.
Including me.
Including you, Zamra. Yes, all of us. Because when we hear a success story like this, can bring up some feelings in ourselves and also the adults who are listening, also with us. We all have lives and different things have happened. And when we hear other people's stories, it brings up empathy and feeling, lots of feelings. So taking a deep breath is always a really good idea. And wow, yeah, you describe so beautifully the joy of your dress and the socks and the nail polish and how you were so excited about the wedding and like the way that you described the way you were feeling that day. It was so deeply joyful. I was along for all of it. I was along for the ride. It was a wonderful, wonderful story. And then this thing happens to you, which is just changes everything for you so quickly. So I'm curious, looking back on this experience now that you're an adult and you're a mom, what are some things that you might say to yourself as a 10-year-old that you didn't know then? Some things that might have, like words of wisdom or observations. Do you have anything like that? Have you thought about anything like that?
You know, as I was reading that book, I was thinking, what could have I done differently? And it was so simple. If I had said something to my friend's mother at that moment, that this guy's hand is up in my private area, I'm sure she would have done something, right?
Yeah, right.
She would have said, stop it, or come sit in my seat and I'll stand here, or pulled me on her lap, something.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times when we're hearing success stories, it's when we're hearing them and the person who's telling them, it's from years in the future. And sometimes we do have those thoughts like, what could I have done differently? And so I just want to say for everyone who's listening, one of the things that we never do is we never find fault with the 10-year-old person on the bus, because that 10-year-old person on the bus was minding her own business, living in her very own joy and just feeling herself and just feeling so good. The fault always lies with the person who does the thing that's wrong. And in this case, it's the young man who put his hands where they did not belong. And so, yes, you could have, or in the future, one of our kids listening could learn from this to speak up, but it doesn't mean that when you were 10, you did anything wrong. That is so true. And what about words of wisdom to that little girl who went into the bathroom afterwards and was just like washing herself and changing her clothes and trying to find her way through that moment all alone? What do you have anything like? I want to go hug her. I want to go hug her and tell her, like, it's okay. You're okay. Like, you're safe now. What
is it?
Yeah. Is there anything you, yeah? Sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
So, if I, you know, my mom was really wonderful, especially at that age. We had a wonderful relationship. There was no reason for me not to talk to her about this. I don't know why I felt like I could not talk about this, that it was something that I had done to attract this creep's attention.
Yeah.
And so I felt like, you know, talking about it was not, I don't know why I didn't talk to my mother about it, but if I had, I'm sure she would have made my pain ease a whole lot at that age. I'm sure she would have told me that it was not my fault.
Moms are kind of awesome that way. And let's flip to you as a mom, because I'm wondering if you say this to your kids. I always told my kids, you can tell me anything, anything. Do you ever say that to your kids?
Yes. I tell them, I will love you no matter what.
No matter what. Yeah. And then they tell us the hard things and we sit down and we say, I'm so glad you told me.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I really appreciate you sharing this story with us. Are there any other pieces about it that you want to share, or things that you've thought about or learned from, or things that you've told your own kids, or anything you want to add?
So I've been talking to some young girls over the years about this kind of experience, and a lot of time the blame in the society, the blame is often put on the young girl. What I have found out that this kind of, you know, inappropriate touch happens no matter what the girl is wearing, you know?
Yeah.
I heard that there is this kind of abuse, even in a country like Saudi Arabia, where the girl is in a full body covered from top to toe. And I read the story of this girl that she was still inappropriately touched. So we're just going back to the same point that it is not the child's fault and it's not the fault of what she is or what she's not wearing.
Right. And the power of voice. I think that you're right when we can speak up when something uncomfortable is happening. It's one of the tools that we have in our toolkit, and it's something that we can also practice with the people and the adults in our families who love them, or in the adults who love us, who are around us, will be happy to help us practice using our voice. Well, this has been a wonderful time to share with you. I really, really appreciate you telling us your story, Samra. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Any last words?
That is it from me.
All right. We've got some amazing listeners. Hey, listeners, send a thanks to Samra for getting the opportunity to learn from her story today. Thank you. It's wrap-up time. No kids self-defense class is complete until we've shouted together about how amazing we are. So here's what I want you to do. First of all, make sure it's okay to shout and be loud. Like, make sure no one's on the phone or working from home or trying to take a nap. And by the way, if it's not an okay time to shout, that's all right too. You can use a quiet voice or even a whisper. Works the same. I'm going to say something and I want you to repeat after me. Okay, so you figured out how loud you can be. Now, if you can, stand in a power pose with your feet planted about as wide apart as your shoulders are. If you can't stand up, sitting's fine too, but just feel your body connecting to the ground. And then do something that feels really powerful to you, like put your hands up in the air in a V for victory sign, or make fists and put them on your hips, or put both your hands on your heart, okay? So do something that feels really powerful to you. Take a deep breath and repeat after me as loud as you can. Here we go. I am a strong and powerful kid. I have the right to say no. No means no. And one last time with my favorite. I am a strong and powerful kid. And then we say yes. Yes, you rock. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Power Up Kids Self-Defense Podcast. I'll see you next time. And between now and then, stay safe and have fun. And for the adults, I really appreciate that you're listening and sharing this podcast with your kiddos. Thank you for taking the time to do this. I do this work, I take on the expenses of this work because I think it's important. If you'd like to support me, I'd be most grateful. You can find links to my Buy Me a Coffee page or to my website podcast donation page in the episode description. Thanks for supporting this work. Let's do this. Let's make the world safer for all the kids. When you review this podcast and share it with your friends and family, that also helps spread the word. And I'd love it if you'd do that too. And by the way, if you or your kids have an experience or a story that you or they would be willing to share with me and our listeners, I'd love to hear it. This is how we learn from one another. Sharing and telling our stories is really powerful. It's a gift that we can give to others, and it's a path toward our own healing and empowerment. Anyway, connect with me if you've got something that you'd be willing to talk about sharing. There's a link in the episode description for how to do that. Take care and be safe.